Buongiorno bella gente and welcome to this little recap about the Italian writer and playwright Pirandello, Luigi Pirandello. Just few words about his life. He was from Sicily. He was born in Agrigento in 1867 in a really wealthy family. Indeed, his father was the owner of a sulfur mine. His father and his mother also took part in the Italian Risorgimento, and they were fiercely against the Bourbon, and they had fought to the unification of Italy. But at the same time, Pirandello's mother was really disappointed about the reality of the new Italy, of the new unificated Italy. And so maybe this feeling of disenchantment was transferred to young Pirandello. Maybe this sense of imbalance between reality and imagination and expectation was very important in Pirandello's life, but even in Pirandello's works. In fact, you can find all Pirandello's way of thinking in his essay L'Umorismo, in which he describes all his ideas about literature and theater too. He grew in a very Catholic family, and his maid, that was called Maria Stella, told him fairy tales and little short stories and introduced him to spirituality, but even to superstition. And this sense of living among spirits and ghosts has always been in Pirandello's way of writing. In fact, we can find in his six characters in Search for an Author, we can find this sense of unreality. And even though Pirandello himself said that his characters were not ghosts, but when we watch this play, we have this feeling of having some spirits around us. However, coming back to his life, he studied romance, linguistics and philology in Palermo, in Rome, and in the end in Bonn, in Germany, because he quarreled with the rector of the Rome University and he had to finish his studies abroad. And when he came back in 1894, he married a woman who was called Maria Antonietta Portulano, that was the daughter of a very rich man. And this was indeed an arranged marriage. But nevertheless, between the two of them, a great passion and attraction aroused. So Pirandello really loved his wife, that he said she was a very beautiful woman. But unfortunately, in their lives, a bad seed occurred. That was his wife, Madness, that unfortunately took her in a mental hospital. And Pirandello tried to keep his wife at home, but she really had a big disease. And so she finished her life in a mental hospital. And this was a very sad thing for Pirandello. And actually, he began to study the new theories by Dr. Freud, so psychoanalysis. And he not only studied Freud's theories, but he was interested in the reaction of society towards the people that do not act in a normal way, or people that do not adapt to society. And so often the mad people or the different people are perceived from the rest of the society as insane. But we maybe do not know what is the line that divides the insane people from different people that do not adapt to society. Anyway, in his works we often find that reality is not always the same for all the characters, and we as spectators cannot understand or do not know what is the real in what the characters say. Anyway, His first successful novel was Il fu Mattia Pascal in 1904, and it was immediately translated in several languages, but the critics were not so convinced about Pirandello's work, but the public arrived immediately. The big success arrived in 1922 when Pirandello decided to dedicate himself only to the theater, and he became a playwright, and everybody in the world knows about his most famous dramas, such as Six Characters in Search of an Author, or Right You Are, If You Think You Are, and so on. There are a lot of them. But now I'd like to tell you something about Pirandello's relationship with the fascist regime. It was really puzzling in a certain way, because Pirandello's works are really what is most far away from the fascist philosophy and fascist way of looking at life. But Pirandello's agreed with the fascism, and he had the membership card. We can say now that a lot of years have gone by that maybe he agreed because he was a nationalist, okay? He was very proud to be Italian. He came from, as I said before, a family that had fought for the Italian unification. And maybe he looked at Mussolini as a strong man that could give, again, to Italy prestige. We can even think that maybe he was interested, most of all, in the subsidy and money that he could have from the regime for his theater, for his dramas. We don't know, because we cannot stay into Pirandello's mind. But what we know is that in 1927, he tore his fascist membership card in front of the secretary of the national secretary of this fascist party. And for the rest of his life, he was more or less tolerated by the regime, even because Pirandello's theater and characters were so different from a fascist hero, because Pirandello's characters aren't heroes or strongmen, but they were always uncertain about their own life, about who they were, and so on. We can say that it was a complicated relationship between Pirandello and the fascism, and that with his own words, with Pirandello's own words, he defined himself as an apolitical person, but a man in the world. And maybe with these words, he wanted to say that he had tried to have the most he could from the situation. In fact, a lot of intellectuals, critics, and writers of his time were really astonished about Pirandello's agreeing to fascism. But this is what it happened. And so from his works came out an anarchical, sarcastic, and pessimistic concept about life and about society. So we can think, how could the fascist regime love Pirandello's works? Indeed, the fascist critics did not exalt his works, because they could not, because it was so different, okay? So we can also say that he was awarded with the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1934, and he died in 1936. And there's a strange, a peculiar story about his funeral. Indeed, he wanted to be cremated, a thing that was not so usual at that time. But he decided in this way, and he didn't want people to his funeral. He wanted it to be private. And more than 10 years after, his ashes were taken to Agrigento, to his a native place, and I can suggest a really funny and peculiar movie that has been directed in this last year in Italy, that is called La Stranezza, that in English means The Oddity, and that talks about six characters in search of an author, and it's not a biopic about Pirandello, but and it describes Pirandello that is looking for these characters, and he meets two weird actors, and at the same time they are grave diggers, and they have to help him to bury his ancient maid, and it is a strange story that is that can make you laugh, but it is, I think, even gives the mood of Pirandello's world. So if you find it, you can find the movie on some streaming platforms. It is maybe a good film to watch. In fact, there is a very good Italian actor, that is Tony Servillo, and two comedians, Italian comedians, that are Ficarra and Picone. You can search for them on the net, okay? But coming back to Pirandello's plays, we can say that the most important topics are the madness, are the craziness of people, but even the craziness of society, of our living, okay? The identity of people. And in fact, the most iconic work is One, None, and 100,000s that are really into the mood that we could have at the beginning of the 20th century, not only for the structureless way of writing, and I'm thinking in this moment to Joyce, but also to the structureless of the people's personality, the search for the structure that often they do not find. And this is really related to the new theories by Dr. Freud, to psychoanalysis, to the subconscious of every person, of every character. So every Pirandello's character is always searching for their own personality, for their own views on the world, of the world. And we can learn from Pirandello's works that the universe is often dominated by chaos. And it is really strange, because the villa in which Pirandello was born was named with a word that meant chaos. So maybe he was destined to talk about chaos in human life. So people, to survive to this chaos, have to find rules and schemes in which to put their own lives. And Pirandello thinks that every one of us, not only his characters, we have to wear masks, because these masks are the roles that we have to play in the theater of life. But at the same time, those masks are horrible, because they do not permit us to explain and show our real personality, because society gives us a cage in which we have to live. But at the same time, those masks prevent us to become crazy. So in Pirandello's works, there's always this search for a balance between madness and a lack of meaning of the humankind lives. And I think you can see that this kind of topic, this kind of reasoning could never be fit for the fascist philosophy that was so close to rules, to meaning in every part of the lives of people, because in a dictatorship, citizens have to know what they are, what they have to do, okay? But in Pirandello's world, this is not possible. When a person or a character remove from his face, from his personality, the masks that the society has given him or her, he uses madness to escape. So insanity, madness, can be a way to become oneself, to be true. Okay, it is a choice that people have. If to wear the mask and save themselves from madness, or to become different from the others and express themselves. From this philosophy, we can assume that when you wear a mask, you cannot really communicate with other people. So another topic of Pirandello's works is the lack of communication, the incommunicability. Every one of us is one, is none, and is hundred thousands, because we do not know what we are always in search of our own personality, such as the people, the characters in Six Characters in Search of an Author. In this way, Pirandello is a forerunner of the theater of the absurd, and we can surely compare his works, for instance, to that of Samuel Beckett. Another thing I wanted to say is that he starts again to use that kind of acting that was the theater in the theater, the meta theater, that was so used in Shakespeare's plays, and that he starts again to use, for instance, in the Six Characters in Search of an Author, they are rehearsing a play that they have to act. And very important, in Pirandello's theater, he often talks about theater and even about how to renew the art of theater. So we can surely say that he is among the most important playwrights of the 20th century, and that his theater has transformed all the plays that have come after him. Anyway, very important is the breaking of the fourth wall, because the actors are on the stage, but they also are in the stalls area, in the parterre, okay? And this is very modern, very new. If you can, the most beautiful thing is to go to theater to watch Pirandello's plays. But you can find a lot of Pirandello's plays also on the net, or you can find DVDs, and they are really modern. I really suggest to watch or listen or to read at least his dramas. For what concerns the most important and breaking and new Pirandello's work, drama, I can say that the Six Characters arrives while the other actors are rehearsing a Pirandello's play. So Pirandello, in his own work, quotes himself, and this is really, really modern. And we have these characters, such as the father, the mother, the boy, and the father explained to the director of the theater that they come from the fantasy of an author that did not give them the possibility to live in a drama. So they are really asking to be a part of the show. And you will know if you read what happens after. But it is really, really original and innovative. Okay, so I hope you will go to search something more about Pirandello. It has written such a lot of things, so you should choose among a lot of works, but I suggest to start with Six Characters, and have a good reading. Bye-bye!